You may be seated. Thank you for coming today as we celebrate the life and the homecoming of Clarice Shackleton. Clarice Rose Shackleton, age 86, of Knapp, Wisconsin, went to be with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on February 9th, 2017. She was at home surrounded by her daughters. She was born in Cornell, Wisconsin, on August 26, 1930, to Frank and Nancy Grinder Pinker. Clarice married Robert Shackleton in Vancouver, Washington on June 12, 1948. Bob and Clarice moved back to the Midwest, living in the Twin Cities for a short time, where they made many lifelong friends, before settling in the Knapp area, where they lived the rest of their 64 years together. While in the Knapp area, Bob and Clarice owned and operated the Knapp Auto Salvage and a construction company, which later became the Lumberyard, Shackleton Building and Supply. Clarice was known by all as Robert's wife, but quickly became more to everyone who met her. Her hospitality was what she will always be remembered for. Her door was always open with cookies or pie on the table. For unexpected visitors, everyone left a friend. Clarice was involved in the Gideon's Women's Auxiliary. She was also a very active member at the Calvary Assembly of God in Wilson. Clarice is survived by and will be missed by her six daughters, Joan and Carl Skip Anderson of Wilson, Nancy and Bob James of Knapp, Roberta and Ken Windsor of Knapp, Deborah and Mike Platt of Knapp, Sharon and Dwayne Cormican of Knapp, and Barbara and Gary Cormican of Downing, her 12 grandchildren, 30 great-grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. She is also survived by her brother, Gary, and Susan Pinker of Thailand, as well as many nieces, nephews, other relatives, and friends. She was preceded in death by her husband, Robert, her mother, Nancy, her father, Frank, and her stepmother, Anna. She was also preceded in death by her sisters, Bernadine, Leona Josephine, and Virginia, brothers Francis George and Robert Henry. Romans chapter 14, verses 8 and 9 says, "For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." Let's pray. Father, we know that you are the God of the dead and the living. Lord, you are the God of Claris. And you are the God of us here today. Lord, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. And though someone may die, if they believe in you, they pass from death to life. And they really haven't died at all. But Lord, because of faith and because of trust in you, you have granted eternal life. I pray today that this service would be an honoring service for Claris. I also pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and that the family would be comforted. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all sing Amazing Grace together. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That's a thing that Claris is doing today, praising God, praising her Savior, Jesus Christ. My mother-in-law had sent a message to my wife saying, "Did you read the Daily Light Journal on the day that Claris passed?" And we looked it up, and these are the verses for that day. So this is just some selected scripture reading. It says, "Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Song, The Love of God, by Dan Shackleton, accompanied by Stan Shackleton.
Thank you.
Jessie Clark has something she would like to share.
She was so special to me. My brother and sister and I spent a lot of time with Grandma, but I spent most time staying overnight every chance I got, even for a week or two at a time when Mom let me. I loved Grandma. She was my best. She was my best friend. We would play skippo, watch our favorite movies together, and color pictures, and just sit and talk. Grandma taught me how to really pray. She prayed every night for the family and friends, and mostly for the ones that were hurting, and not for herself. Her house was always open to everyone, and it's going to be hard to not have her house to go to after church to spend time with all her family. On Sunday, that was a tradition I never want to forget. I'm glad my grandma lived a long and happy life, but I wish she was still here to make memories. And I know she's in heaven and has no more pain. But I know she is happy with Jesus and Grandpa, and I will be here when I go to heaven.
And then Jeremy is going to give a eulogy and a song afterwards.
I asked specifically that I not follow her. Jeremy James, then Jesse. I didn't really prepare anything this morning. Just wanted to share a few things and give you a little insight into this life well-lived and a woman that was cherished by not just her children, but her grandchildren. And she was an amazing person, to say the least. And so I just wanted to share maybe a story or two. Grandpa was a man who was larger than life to us. And we would, all of us respected him greatly. He loved Grandma with everything in him. We saw that. Sometimes we wish we hadn't of. You know, it usually happened in the kitchen, and that's where we spend a lot of time. It was neat, you know, to see. No, it wasn't. We had so many good times, you know, with Grandma and Grandpa, and to see how he cherished her and how she cherished him and how she honored him was fascinating. And Grandpa, with all the wonderful attributes of the man, he was just a great man that we all loved dearly. And he loved Grandma. He loved Jesus and his daughters and supper. And supper was at 5 o'clock. And we ate at 5 o'clock. It's just the way it was. Grandpa and I, one day, we were haying, and I was up in the haymow, and we'd worked pretty hard, and he wanted dinner. So, can you hear me? All right. He wanted dinner, and, you know, and it was just the way it was that, is this your Bible? Wow. I'm touching Pastor's Bible, I'm sorry. So we got in, and we cleaned up a little bit, and at the time, Grandma's couch was by her big picture window, and I went in and sat on the couch, and she had a nice coffee table that was fairly new at the time, and I had my feet on the coffee table because we're simple folks. It's just the way it was, and she didn't care. She would never place my feelings or how I felt over a piece of furniture. But Grandpa, wanted my feet off that coffee table. But anyway, we were sitting there, and Grandpa, we sat there for a little while, and we were watching the news, and Grandma was making pound steak, and and she's out just wailing away on that thing, and so the TV got a little louder. We all remember this. But the TV get louder, and Grandma, she's wailing away on the thing. And, Clarice, when do we eat? It's coming, she said. And, maybe 3-4 minutes went by, and Grandpa was a very patient man. And he Clarice, how's it coming? It's coming. And I was, whoa. Clarice, she's a little sharp there. And about 2 minutes later, he was a little irritated. And Clarice, and I noticed that she grabbed the pound steak out of the frying pan and put it on the plate, opened up the refrigerator door, and got him the rest of the fixings on his plate. And she brought him this beautiful plate with pound steak and mashed potatoes and I remember some peas, and I remember gravy. And Grandpa loved mashed potatoes and gravy, and he stuck it in his mouth, and I looked at him, because I was kind of like, whoa, where's this going? And I looked at him, and he just went, it's cold. But I'll never forget it, because as he was getting ready to take the bite, those of you who that frequented the house, oh, many of you did, where I was sitting, I could see Grandma in the kitchen leaning over the counter with her silent laugh. And but that was a beautiful relationship that they had. They're two people that got along so well. I don't remember where we were, but we were on a camping trip, and they had a motorhome. And I'm wrecking this. Sorry, when I get nervous, I fidget and wreck things. But we were on a camping, we were doing something, and we were in their motorhome, and Grandma had to go to the bathroom. And Grandpa and Grandma always sat in the big bed, which was up on top, so you could see out the front of the camper. And she told Grandpa, Robert, a.k.a. Bob, that she had to use the restroom. So he made sure she had to climb over him. And so I remember him sticking his belly out, and she was stuck. And I'll never forget the laughter. But those are just a few things, just a couple, and there's thousands of them. I mean, the people that, I feel sorry for people that missed out on that. There weren't many. Most of you that came, you saw it. But I was thinking about what to say about an hour ago, actually. And I went in the library, and I was looking at some of the titles of the books. And I was reading titles like Born Again and How to Live Your Faith and things like this. And Grandma was never anyone that was known as a theological scholar. But I found this morning when I got out of bed. And Jesse, thank you, Jesse, for the beautiful words. I think I found it. I know I found it. I don't know if I brought it. But this is a little, I found this in my bed this morning. And our youngest son, Joshua, who I think he's five, right? He's five. Yeah, he's five. Last night, you know, when I told the boys that Grandma Shackleton had passed, you know, they're little boys. It's Valentine's Day. There's girls. And so they took it really well, I thought. And last night, Joshua wanted to sleep with us, and I told him he could. And I kind of needed a cuddle bug last night. And but what he was sleeping with was this. Jesse was was Grandma's favorite. But so was Jonathan. And so was Joshua. And so was I. And that's how Grandma made us all feel. If you asked every single person in here except for Barb, if you asked everybody in this room, who was Grandma's favorite? We would all say it was me. I mean, like, not me. You know what I mean? Well, if you don't, I mean, like, Jake would say he was her favorite. But that's the way she treated us. Nikki wrote a song about, and one of the lyrics is about Grandma saving us. That's something all of us grandkids remember. Grandpa would tickle us, and he's a big, strong man, and he would tickle us too hard and too long, and Grandma would come in, Robert, you know, and she'd give it to him and save us, and that's what that was all about. And but Grandma was, she was a warrior because she really did pray for us every night. Her and Grandpa would pray together every night for their daughters and for their grandchildren. And very grateful for that. In Matthew chapter 20, we see a picture of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And it's his last time on the way to Jerusalem. He's going to be crucified. And he stops his disciples, it says in Matthew 20, and he explains it to them again. But then in Mark 10 is a contrasting scripture to that. And it gives us a little more insight as to what happened that day. But it says, as Jesus was on his way, the disciples were astonished. And astonished, the Greek in that simply means that they were in awe. And what they were in awe of is his love. He was so eager to die for the soul of each and every one of you and me. He was so eager to serve this one last act of service. He had washed, we know the story of him washing the feet of the disciples. And Jesus was a king who came as a servant. Grandma was a mighty warrior, but she fought through service. Grandpa Shackleton was a great man, and we all love him and we still miss him. And many of you remember the times you were at their house, but you can never remember a time when you weren't offered a cup of coffee or a cookie. Somebody made the coffee, and somebody made the cookies. And I'll quit with this. When Grandma found out she was sick, this has probably made the biggest impression on me in my life. And it's taught me the most, but it was one picture. And there was a woman, her name was Jane, and she attended this church. She was soft-spoken and very small, very quiet, and she became ill and was in the nursing home. Grandma, after she found out she had cancer and was going to die, so they told her. She went and visited Jane. There's a beautiful picture of Clarice and Jane walking down the street, but that's the kind of person she was. She was the most selfless, loving, and gentle person I have ever known. And that's what I'll remember her for. She didn't know all the ins and outs of theology, but she had something figured out. Frankly, the majority of us don't. She was a servant. It's the most difficult thing to do as a Christian is to serve. Easy to preach, but it's hard to love. And that's what I will always remember my grandma for.
When I was thinking what kind of message to bring today, and what can you say about Clarice? There's so much to say. And yet there was one thing to me that was unique and remarkable, and that is the shadow that she walked in and the shadow that she cast for others to walk in. I'll explain that. We all know that Bob was a leader. He led with the voice of authority. There wasn't any doubt about that. You know, in many circles, Clarice was known as Bob's wife. She walked in his shadow, but those who knew Clarice knew that she cast her own shadow, that she led by example. If you want to know whether you're a leader or not, you look behind and see if anybody's following you. Here's a proverb that says, "Now verily, he who thinks he's a leader but has no one following him is just taking a walk." And as I looked at Clarice's life, I knew that there were those that were following her, those that were walking behind her. She knew where she was going, and others followed her. I'm going to give you a scripture text, and I'll explain how this applies to Clarice. It's about a man from the Old Testament, but we're going to take it and apply it to Clarice today. And in Exodus 31, verses 1 through 5, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carrying of timber to work in all manner of work and workmanship." But here's the thing. God had commanded Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness and into the promised land. But God said, "Moses, you're not going to have to do it alone. I'm going to give you some helpers. I'm going to give you some people that will help you with this task that I have given you." When we moved here from South Dakota almost 26 years ago, we were moved in two horse trailers. Ernie Lathe and Lowell Burton came in one, the first one, and Debbie and the children went with them. It spoiled the kids rotten, I might add, stopping for ice cream and candy. And then Bob and Clarice came next, and I came back with Bob and Clarice. And I knew right away they were my helpers. I knew that they would be pillars and people that I could count on. In fact, I knew that Clarice was on my side even before this. When I had heard that the church was open here and I had placed a call, Bob was the head of the pulpit committee. And when I called, Bob wasn't home, but Clarice was. And I knew that this was a place I wanted to come to when I heard her sweet voice. And I thought, if everybody was as sweet as Clarice, who wouldn't want to go there? Now, I was right. I could count on Bob and Clarice and all the time that we were here. And now one of the chief men there, Bezalel, his name means in the shadow of God. Here was a man whose life was overshadowed by Almighty God. And I'm going to give you some factors about this man because they apply to him, they apply to Clarice, and I hope that they apply to you today as well. The first thing is that God knew Clarice personally. She had a personal relationship with her Savior, Jesus Christ. Clarice was overshadowed by God. And then it says there in Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. When it mentions pestilence there, pestilence is a disease. And when Clarice got the disease, when she got cancer, she was not afraid to die. She lived under the shadow of God's wings. And when she walked through the valley of the shadow of death, God was there with her. So she did not fear. A little boy was quoting the model prayer, and he quoted it this way. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, how does he know my name?" But God knew the name of Clarice. And in fact, she loved this poem. "At every opportunity I pay my church a visit, so when at last I'm carried in, the Lord won't say, who is it?" The Lord didn't have to ask who Clarice was when she came to heaven. He was there waiting in open arms. He knew her. He knew her by name. The question for all of us today is, does the Lord know us by name? Does God know you by name? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Was there ever a time in your life when you invited him to become the Lord and Savior of your life? Clarice did that, and she walked with God. She walked very close to God, and God knew her, and God knew her name. Another thing about Clarice is that God called her specifically. There in verse 2, he said, "I've called by name Bezaleel." But notice that God called him by name, and God said, I have a special job for you to do. I have a special job for you to do. If you ever want to make a good prayer, pray the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed before he was the Apostle Paul, the prayer that actually made him become the Apostle Paul. He said in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's a wonderful prayer. Lord, what do you want? What do you have for me to do? And I believe that Clarice was always praying that, always asking, "God, what do you want me? What do you want me to do?" Scripture says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what Clarice did. That's what Jeremy was talking about. She was always working. She was always serving. She was Christ's masterpiece. She was his workmanship. She was doing good works, casting a shadow for others to come and walk in. It's already been mentioned, and again, it's no surprise for those of us that knew Clarice that she was outstanding in the gift of hospitality. Just outstanding. It's already been mentioned. I'll echo it again. In the word of mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, right? You couldn't go to their house without having a cup of coffee or a cookie being offered to you. You just couldn't do it. Chances are when you got there, somebody was already visiting, already drinking a cup of coffee and having two or three cookies of their own. It took a special lady with a real gift to be able to make everyone feel welcome. And I know Debbie and I visited her in December, just like 2 weeks before, or 2 months before she had passed. And you know what she was doing that day? She was making cookies. 2 months ago, she was making cookies. And we sat down and I had coffee. Debbie doesn't drink coffee, but I had coffee and we ate cookies together. Don't get the idea that just ministers are called. Don't get the idea that just missionaries are called, or even musicians are the only ones that are called. Wives and mothers are called. And it is a high calling. And for Clarice really to step down from that, she would have to done anything else, she would have had to have stepped down in her ministry. She was one of the most successful wives and mothers that I have known. She had a high calling. She had a high calling. And today, if I want you to know that God has a plan for your life, and he wants you to follow him, but if for some reason you've gotten out of step with that plan, you turned your back on God's plan and program for your life, you know, you would just have to turn back around in the right way today. and God would welcome you with open arms. I'm sure of this. I am absolutely positive of this, that Clarice would want all of her children, all of her grandchildren, all of her great-grandchildren to be walking in God's shadow, to be following her example, and to be following God and his plan for their life. The third thing about Clarice was that God equipped her uniquely. In verses 3 through 5 there, it says, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, and in all knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work all manner of workmanship." That's very interesting to me. God said, I want this man, I want him to be a part of building my tabernacle. So I'm going to take this man. I know him personally, I've called him specifically, and I am equipping him uniquely. He's going to have these gifts and these abilities to be able to carve gold and carve wood and to be able to chisel stone. It was a gift from God. Bob and Clarice were one of the few families to help start or to help work in. Rather, they came a little long after the church was started, but to work to build the Assembly of God Church in Wilson. And they are largely responsible for where we are today, along with others. Clarice served the Lord faithfully in different ministries. She was Sunday school superintendent. She was president of the women's ministries. She served as church treasurer for over 30 years. We don't know how many years exactly. She was already treasurer when I got here. And she continued to serve until just a few months ago. She was faithful to the Lord in ministry. Now, God called Moses to one kind of ministry, and he called this other man to another kind of ministry, and Moses was called to be a spiritual leader. Bezalel was called to be a master worker, but both were called of God. I read a story some time ago about a little boy who wanted to be in a school play so badly. He just wanted to be in it. And so he kept telling his mama, "I'm going to try out for the school play. I'm going to try out for the school play. I want to be in that play." She knew that the little fellow didn't have the native equipment, and so she was afraid he was going to be hurt. When they came home, she was afraid to ask, but she asked him. She said, "Did you get a part in the play?" He said, "I did." She said, "Well, what are you going to do?" "Oh," he said, "I have been chosen to clap and cheer." Isn't that wonderful? Clarice wasn't called to preach, but she went along with Bob when he would present his Gideon messages. She was there to cheer and to clap and to give support. One of the best sounds I ever heard when I was preaching was waiting for Clarice to say amen. Because if I had Clarice's amen, then I knew I was on the right track. But what an encouragement, what a support that is. I appreciated her. I always appreciated her support. There were times when I would get discouraged, and I would go to Bob and Clarice's house, and I would have the coffee and the cookie, and they would always encourage me. I never left without being encouraged. Now, Moses was a spiritual leader, Bezalel the master craftsman. But remember this. Never divide life between the secular and the sacred. After you get saved, when you're saved, you go to work. The Bible says that you go to work for your new boss. You go to work for God. And you work with all of your ability for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Clarice. She gave it all. And in every day is a holy day. Every place is a sacred place. And we all work and serve in the cathedral of the skies. Clarice worked and served until God called her to her home in the skies. Fourth thing is that God empowered Clarice fully. In verse 3, it says, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God." The New Testament verse says that we are to not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Clarice was filled with the Spirit. She walked in the Spirit. No wonder she cast God's shadow. And she cast her own shadow as well. And then lastly, God placed Clarice strategically. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 6, it talks about how God had brought other people along to work beside Moses and the other men that he had set up there to build his church there in the wilderness. So what he's really saying is, now look, this is not a one-man show. I know him personally. I've called him specifically. I've equipped him uniquely. I've empowered him fully. But I want you to know I placed him strategically. I placed him in a strategic position. I put him to work with others. I put him in a place, in a context, where he would fit in with the work that others were doing. It was no mistake that Clarice was a member of this church, that God had placed her here strategically. She was a part of this church body. You ever go to church on Sunday morning and wonder how everything got done? You know, we just kind of saunter in sometimes on Sunday and think, oh, all of this just happened. No, that's not. There's an incredible army of people, whether you go to this church or any other church, that are working to get things done. Clarice was one of those people. One of those people who would work sometimes behind the scenes, but she was there to get things done. And we are going to miss her very, very much. It was no mistake that Clarice was a part of this body. It was no mistake that Clarice was Bob's wife. They were better together. You really don't think of one without the other, do you? It's always Bob and Clarice. You think of them together. They were better together. They complemented each other. Bob was the Gideon. She was part of the auxiliary. They sang together even on television. Worked in the full gospel businessman ministry. She was Bob's helpmeet. She was his helpmeet. Bob worked with horses. She was his thoroughbred. I had to take a picture the other night of the saying that they have hanging up on one of the walls. It says, if a man has enough sense to treat his wife like a thoroughbred, she will never grow into an old nag. It was fitting for them, with Bob working with his Belgians and Clarice his thoroughbred. It was no mistake. Clarice and Bob were meant for each other. God had put them together. They're together again. Girls, it was no mistake that Clarice was your mother. God gave you her for a mother. And God gave you to be her daughter. And that is no mistake either. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, it is no mistake that Clarice was your grandmother. God put her into your life because God knew what you needed. He gave you the grandmother that you needed. And I would encourage you today, walk in her shadow. Follow her example. She's casting a long shadow. There is room for all of you, though, to walk in that shadow. And not just walk in that shadow, but to walk proudly in that shadow. You have a grandmother that you could be proud of. And I know today that nothing would thrill her more than to have you following her example. Was she perfect? Of course not. None of us are perfect. But she left, her and Bob together left an incredible heritage for you. If you're not right with God today, please get right with God. Someday there's going to be a reunion in heaven. And I know Bob and Claire are looking forward to that time when you join them. And together you sit around the throne, worshiping the Lord who died for you. Nikki, jealous of the angels.
Today wouldn't be our last, that I'd have to say goodbye to you so fast. I'm so numb, I can't feel anymore. Praying you just walk back through that door. Tell me that I was only dreaming. You're not really gone as long as I believe. You will sing beside the angels around the throne tonight. Your love lives on inside of me, and I will hold on tight. It's not my place to question, only God knows why. I'm just jealous of the angels around the throne tonight. Made my troubles feel so small, and you were always there to catch me when I'd fall. In a world where heroes come and go, well, God just took the only one I know. So I'll hold you as close as I can, longing for the day when I see your face again. But until then, you will sing beside the angels around the throne tonight. Your love lives on inside. And I will hold on tight. It's not my place to question, only God knows why. I'm just jealous of the angels around the throne tonight, singing hallelujah. Just jealous of the angels. the throne tonight. I'm jealous of the angels around the throne tonight.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today that we know where Clarice is. We know that she can't come to us, but someday we can go to where she is. And Lord, again, I just pray for peace, and I pray for comfort. And I pray, Lord, that the words that are spoken today and in this service and by others as they just greet the family, Lord, those would be things that the family would be able to hang on to. And Lord, that you would bring to their memory those things. And just help us to be able to love on them today. And may they draw strength from that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have another song that Jeremy's recorded. For those of you that would like to go to the cemetery, we'll be leaving in just a few moments for NAMP. For those of you that are not going, the family has graciously said that you may stay here and start eating. So that's your choice today. May the love of God and the peace of the Son and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.